Joining a fraternity or sorority can have a lot of benefits for students, primarily exposure to a large network of collegiate members and alumni who can provide academic support. The dark side of such organizations, however, is that many of them practice hazing, an initiation rite that can sometimes lead to death, such as in the case of a 22-year-old University of Santo Tomas Law School freshman in September 2017. You're listening to Stories After Dark, a Philippine true crime and mystery podcast powered by Anchor and released exclusively on Spotify. This is the story of Horacio Castillo III, who died at the hands of Aegis Juris fraternity members during his initiation rites. Listener discretion is advised due to the graphic and sensitive nature of this story. Horacio Castillo III, or Atio as he was fondly called, was born on May 26, 1995 in Manila, a descendant of Philippine national hero Jose Rizal and General Miguel Malvar. Atio came from a family of doctors, but from an early age dreamed of becoming a lawyer. According to his uncle, Dr. Jerry Castillo, Atio used to joke that he was the black sheep of their clan because he wanted to pursue a career outside of medicine. Atio did exactly this after finishing high school at the Colegio San Agustin in Makati. He studied political science at the University of Santo Tomas, the oldest educational institution in the Philippines. After graduating in 2017, he immediately enrolled himself in the university's law school. According to Dr. Jerry Castillo, Atio was very humble, despite his privileged background. He would ask his driver to drop him off far from UST so he could walk the rest of the way and not have people find out that he was being driven to school. Atio stayed at his uncle's house when he started law school, and his uncle was a witness to how he studied very hard. He thrived as a law student, with his professors praising his eloquent answers every time he was called to recite in class. He was also well-liked by his classmates, who described him as a friendly guy with an outgoing and bubbly personality. Despite his heavy academic load, Atio still found the time to participate in several extracurricular activities. He ran as treasurer under UST Students' Democratic Party. His fellow candidates were struck by his conviction to lead and serve, noting that he was always willing to go above and beyond his established duties. Like many other law students, Atio was also interested in fraternities. Joining one would not only mean being part of a brotherhood he may potentially have for the rest of his life, but could also provide connections to help him survive law school. Atio's family, however, advised him to stay away from such organizations and to concentrate on his studies instead. Unfortunately, their warnings went unheeded. On the morning of September 17, 2017, John Paul Solano, a law student at UST and a part-time medical technologist at San Lazaro Hospital, was on his way to buy cigarettes when he stumbled upon a body covered with a blanket at the corner of H. Lopez Boulevard and Infanta Street in Tondo, Manila. The body was that of a young man who was barely breathing, so thinking that he could still save his life, Solano called on bystanders for help and managed to flag down a passing red Mitsubishi Strada pickup. The driver of the vehicle drove Solano and the unconscious man to the Chinese General Hospital, located only a few minutes away. But despite their efforts, the young man was declared dead on arrival. Since the young man hadn't been carrying any IDs, he remained unidentified as agents from the scene of the crime operatives transported his body to the Archangel Funeral Home in Sampaloc, Manila. The following day, Horacio Castillo Jr. and his wife Carmina arrived at the Chinese General Hospital looking for their son, Atio. Atio had asked permission to attend a college party 2 days before on September 16 and promised that he would be back the next day. His parents grew concerned after he failed to return home. 2 days later, the couple received an anonymous text message saying, quote, "Nasa CGH po si Horacio," end quote, pointing them to the location of their son, but upon arriving at the Chinese General Hospital, they were told that Atio had already been taken to a funeral home. The couple asked employees at the funeral home if they could see the unidentified body that had just been brought by SOCO agents. Their worst fears came true when they saw their son Atio, who by then was just 22 years old and only 2 months into his first year at law school. Atio was terrifying to look at, with wax drippings all over his body, while both his upper arms were covered in cigarette burns and large purple bruises. The Manila Police Department ruled the cause of his death as either cardiac or respiratory arrest, which they said had been triggered by the severity of his injuries. In an interview with radio station DZMM Teleradio, Horacio Jr. explained that his son Atio had been recruited by the Aegis Juris, a fraternity operating within the Faculty of Civil Law at the University of Santo Tomas. Atio's uncle theorized that fraternity members had followed the boy around campus, pressuring him to join their organization until he finally gave in. This revelation caused the university student body to call for the administration to take action. UST Law Dean Nilo Divina immediately issued an order that banned members of the fraternity from entering the campus. On September 19, 2017, 2 days after Atio's death, the MPD announced that they would be questioning John Paul Solano, the medical technologist and law student who discovered Atio's body. There were allegations that he was a member of Aegis Juris, which led to many theorizing that he knew more than he let on. The following day, the owner of the red Mitsubishi Strada that took Atio to the hospital was also named a primary suspect in the case. He was identified as Antonio Tranguia, and his son Ralph was tagged as well after it was alleged that the boy was one of the leaders of Aegis Juris. That same day, Senator Juan Miguel Zubiri, a former classmate of Horacio Jr., filed Senate Resolution No. 504, which called for a probe into Atio's death. Zubiri condemned the killing as a brutal act and urged the government to issue a complete ban on hazing activities. He also criticized Republic Act 8049 or the Anti-Hazing Act of 1995, pointing out that the law only regulated hazing instead of explicitly prohibiting it. Many supported Zubiri's resolution, and it was decided that the Senate Committee on Public Order and Dangerous Drugs, chaired by Senator Panfilo Lacson, would lead the probe. Meanwhile, the Justice Committee, headed by Senator Richard Gordon, would serve as the secondary panel. Zubiri also called upon the Department of Justice and the Bureau of Immigration to issue a hold departure order against 16 members of the Aegis Juris fraternity, whom the police had tagged as possible suspects in Atio's death. This was immediately carried out, but Ralph Tranguia, one of the primary suspects in the case, was able to flee to the United States before the hold departure order was enacted. Screenshots of a Facebook Messenger conversation about a so-called major frat activity soon began circulating on social media. The exchange was between 7 alleged Aegis Juris members with the nicknames Axel, Arvin, JR, Leonard, Kim, Hans, and Popoy, and it showed that the fraternity knew that their hazing ritual was dangerous and prohibited. The member named Arvin urged the others to maintain their code of silence, and he also told them to deactivate their Facebook accounts. In response to this message, the member named Popoy said that he wouldn't deactivate his account yet as he was still in the hospital. On September 22, John Paul Solano surrendered himself to Senator Lacson, confessing that he was Popoy. While Solano admitted that he was a member of Aegis Juris, he said that his responsibilities during the fraternity's hazing activities were limited to providing medical assistance when a neophyte needed it. Despite Solano's insistence that he hadn't been present at the initiation rites and that he didn't know Atio and just randomly found his body, police arrested him anyway. During a Senate hearing on September 25, Atio's parents condemned the killing of their son, with the boy's father, Horacio Jr., crying over how Aegis Juris treated their son like an animal. Solano was questioned during this hearing, and he confessed that a fellow Aegis Juris member had urged him to lie to the police by telling them that he had stumbled across Atio's body in Tondo. Solano also gave the names of 6 fraternity brothers and 1 non-member, all of whom, he said, were involved in Atio's death. Given Solano's damning confession, the MPD charged him with perjury, murder, robbery, obstruction of justice, and violating the anti-hazing law. Similar charges were also filed against 16 other suspects, along with several unidentified members of Aegis Juris and its sister organization, the Regina Legis et Juris Sorority. One of the suspects, Arvin Balag, was identified as the Arvin in the Facebook Messenger chain and the fraternity brother who had ordered Solano to lie about finding Atio's body in Tondo. Meanwhile, the non-fraternity member was identified as a driver working for the Tranguias, who allegedly drove Solano and Atio's body to the Chinese General Hospital. On September 26, the MPD began investigating the Regina Legis et Juris Sorority, but the sorority's members denied any knowledge of or participation in the incident. That same day, the MPD released the organizational chart of Aegis Juris that they had obtained from UST, showing 8 fraternity officers who were among the individuals suspected in Atheo's death. Several clips of CCTV footage were also pieced together by the police, showing the final moments of Atheo still alive. At a little past 1 p.m. on September 16, Atheo was seen walking alone and carrying 2 bags along Quirino Street in Tondo, Manila, and then later along Alfredo Street near UST. At 1:20 p.m., he was seen on the corner of Concepcion and Dapitan Streets instructing an orange Uber car he had hired to bring his bags home in Makati. On September 28, the MPD conducted a search of the Aegis Juris Law Resources Center on Nevada Street in Sampaloc, Manila. There in the fraternity's library, they discovered paddles with Aegis Juris markings, which led to them theorizing that this was where Atheo had most likely been initiated. This was supported by CCTV footage showing several men entering the frat library starting at around midnight of September 17. According to the MPD report, this was the arrival of Aegis Juris members for the initiation rites of Atheo. At 8:42 a.m., a black Toyota Fortuner and red Mitsubishi Strada were seen passing through Santander Street, which was just around the corner from the frat library. 6 minutes later, both vehicles were captured driving along Laonglaan Road, corner Rosarito Street, a block away from the frat library, but this time the cars were being followed by John Paul Solano on his motorcycle. According to the MPD report, it was then that Atheo's body was boarded inside the red Mitsubishi Strada, though there was no camera that recorded this. The 3 vehicles were then captured by various CCTVs, driving to the Chinese General Hospital. John Paul Solano's lawyer, Aegis Juris co-founder Paterno Esmaquil, argued that Solano's detention was illegal since he had voluntarily surrendered himself to the authorities. The Department of Justice approved his motion and ordered the police to release Solano. Acting Prosecutor General Jorge Catalan, however, was quick to note that Solano's release didn't mean that the charges against him had been dismissed. A few weeks later, Solano accused the MPD of faking his testimony. He said that there had been no qualified officer to administer a sworn statement when he was first brought in for questioning. In October 2017, attorney Lorna Capunan, who represented the Castillos, announced that the family had filed criminal charges against officials of the University of Santo Tomas, including Nilo Divina, the dean of the Faculty of Civil Law. They said that Divina, who was a former member of Aegis Juris, had violated the anti-hazing law by covering up the case in order to protect his fraternity brothers and the school's reputation. They also accused him of neglecting to inform them about Atheo's death, even though he had learned about it on the day that the victim's body was discovered. Divina didn't respond to these claims, but he did file a libel complaint against attorney Capunan, who, during a televised interview, had said that Divina had recruited Atheo to join Aegis Juris. A few days later, he filed another complaint against her, this time for a statement she had given to UST student paper The Varsitarian, where she alleged that Divina had known about Atheo's hazing but didn't do anything about it. She said, quote, "The dean should come forward and not be an obstructionist to justice because no one is above the law," end quote. Capunan would later be acquitted and then convicted of unjust vexation over the statement. Divina denied Capunan's allegations, saying that he didn't know Atheo personally, and that he, as dean of the university's law school, had done everything he could to prohibit hazing activities and other forms of violence. He also insisted that he had cooperated with the police during their investigation. John Paul Solano denied that the fraternity's initiation rites had caused Atheo's death. Rather, he pointed out that he was a licensed medical technologist and thus could conclude from the medico-legal report that Atheo had a pre-existing heart condition called hypertrophic cardiomyopathy, a disease that causes muscles of the heart to become abnormally thick, placing the person at higher risk of suffering from cardiac failure. According to Solano, this heart disease and not Aegis Juris was the cause of Atheo's death. Atheo's parents were angered by this allegation, with Horacio Jr. criticizing Solano's opinions, as the young man was a medical technologist and not a cardiologist. On October 24, 2017, a confession from an Aegis Juris member would shed light on what truly happened to Atheo. Mark Anthony Ventura, who had been tagged as a suspect, admitted his participation in the fraternity's initiation rites, and he told the authorities that they had held a loud karaoke session to mask the sounds of Atio being hazed. He also claimed that about 10 frat members had initiated Atio, beating him up so violently that his muscles became swollen. Justice Secretary Vitaliano Aguirre II, who heard Ventura's testimony, said, quote, "Meron silang term na hanggat hindi pumuputok ang kanyang braso, tuloy-tuloy lang sila," end quote, which translated meant that the fraternity members had some sort of agreement that as long as Atio's arm muscles hadn't ruptured, that they would continue hazing him. Ventura further said that the third and final part of the initiation rites consisted of the neophyte being paddled at least 10 times. According to him, Atio had told the fraternity members after his third paddle that he could still take it, but he collapsed soon afterward. His hazers continued paddling him though, with some even dripping melted candle wax on his body to force him to get up. Aegis Juris rules dictated that a neophyte was to be hazed from midnight until sunrise. Atio's initiation went on for at least 4 hours, with the paddling session finishing at 5 a.m. After he remained unconscious on the floor, his hazers panicked and called Solano for help. Solano arrived a few minutes later and performed CPR to no avail as Atio was already dead. According to Ventura, he and his fellow hazers had waited 30 to 40 minutes before deciding to bring Atio to the hospital. Ventura testified that Arvin Balag, pinpointed as Fraternity Grand Prefectus, had delivered the fatal blow to Atio, though Balag denied this, stating that there was no witness to Atio being abused. Balag's defense team reiterated Solano's earlier argument that Atio had died not from being hazed, but rather from a pre-existing heart condition. The Senate, however, criticized this argument, with Senator Lacson questioning why the fraternity had decided to subject Atio to extreme pain, despite knowing that he had a heart condition. Lacson raised to the DOJ the possibility that Ventura, the state witness, was being used by the fraternity to deceive investigators or hide the truth. But the senator took back his comment, pointing out the fact that Ventura had switched lawyers from an Aegis Juris member to a non-member, an indication that he had severed ties with the fraternity. Lacson also asked USD Law Dean Nilo Divina and Director Guan Hing of the university's Office of Student Affairs why they had allowed Aegis Juris to continue its activities even though it wasn't a recognized organization. In January 2018, the Senate recommended that the Supreme Court disbar Divina and at least 18 other lawyers for failing to report and investigate Atio's death, despite being aware of it. They also called on Divina to step down from his position, but he refused to do so, saying that it would be an injustice to his students if he did. That same day, a 46-page report by the Senate Committees on Public Order and Dangerous Drugs and Justice and Human Rights concluded that Atio had died of hazing. The following month, in February, 8 unnamed law students allegedly involved in Atio's death were expelled from USD for violating its code of conduct and discipline. All fraternities and sororities operating within the university were also suspended, with the Office of Student Affairs issuing a memorandum saying that such organizations would no longer be recognized. In March 2018, the DOJ dropped Divina from the charge sheet, as well as other previous suspects due to insufficiency of evidence. Included in those who were cleared were Ralph Trangia's parents, Antonio and Rosemary, whom the police had accused of harboring, concealing, and facilitating their son's escape as the boy and his mother were able to fly to the US days after Atio's death. That same month, the DOJ filed criminal charges against 10 Aegis Juris members, including Ralph Trangia, who was discovered to be the sergeant-at-arms in the organizational chart of the fraternity. The other 9 were Marcelino Bagtang Jr., Grand Prefectus Arvin Balag, Vice President Minwei Chan, Master Initiator Axel Monroe Hipe, Public Relations Officer Joshua Joriel Macabali, Auditor Oliver John Audrey Onofre, John Robin Ramos, Daniel Hans Matthew Rodrigo, and Jose Miguel Salamat. The 10 had already been tagged by the police as suspects in Atio's murder the year before, and they, including Trangia, who had returned to the Philippines, surrendered themselves to the National Bureau of Investigation. The Aegis Juris 10, as they were nicknamed, filed an ex parte motion asking to remain at the NBI headquarters because they had allegedly received death threats. They also said that being imprisoned with hardcore criminals would be a detriment to their personal growth and development. However, Judge Marivic Balisi Umali of Manila Regional Trial Court Branch 20 denied the request and had them all transferred to the Manila City Jail. In July 2018, the ages Juris 10 pleaded not guilty to their charges and filed a petition for bail. Their trial began the following month with state witness Mark Anthony Ventura testifying against them. He burst into tears when asked to identify each of his frat brothers, and the hearing had to be suspended because he couldn't be cross-examined in his emotional state. Reporters were barred from attending the bail hearing, and lawyers were also prohibited from sharing information with the media. Atio's parents, however, shared that they were happy that Ventura had agreed to testify and praised his commitment to telling the truth. Meanwhile, John Paul Solano claimed in court that he had only lied to the police because he was under duress and feared for his life. The court didn't agree with him though, and on June 17, 2019, he was given the first conviction in the case. He was found guilty of obstruction of justice for making false statements about the incident, and he was sentenced to prison for a maximum of 4 years and 2 months. The court, however, acquitted Solano of his perjury charge, noting that the police had made several errors when taking and preserving his judicial affidavit as they were questioning him. More specifically, Solano stated that he wasn't made to take an oath before a police officer, which the crime of perjury requires. On December 10, 2019, Judge Marivic Balisi Umali issued a 56-page order where she stated that she was denying bail to the Aegis Juris 10 because the evidence against them was too strong. The Aegis Juris 10 filed a demurrer to evidence to dismiss the criminal case against them, but this was denied in a decision dated February 24, 2022 by Manila RTC Branch 11 Acting Presiding Judge Shirley Magsipok Pagalilawan. The Aegis Juris 10 as of this recording remain at the Manila City Jail as their trial continues, and they could face up to 40 years in prison if found guilty of violating the anti-hazing law. Mark Anthony Ventura, who had turned state witness on the other hand, is in the Witness Protection Program. On February 12, 2018, the Senate approved on third and final reading Senate Bill No. 1662, or the Act amending Republic Act No. 8049 to strengthen the law on hazing and regulate other forms of initiation rites of fraternities, sororities, and other organizations. The bill covers hazing activities not only in schools but also in the Armed Forces of the Philippines, Philippine National Police, Philippine Military Academy, and Philippine National Police Academy. The bill also requires fraternities, sororities, and organizations to submit an application to school authorities for initiation rites, detailing the activity within 7 days prior to the scheduled date. School authorities are then required to monitor, record, and report that no hazing was conducted in the initiation rites. Atio's parents, Horacio Jr. and Carmina, stated in 2019 that they were pursuing criminal and civil cases against 30 other individuals, composed of Aegis Juris officers and members with direct or indirect participation in the fatal hazing of their son. Since going after Solano and the Aegis Juris 10, the couple had been experiencing harassment and receiving threats over the phone, often before upcoming hearings. They're committed to finishing the case though, and are satisfied so far with its progress, especially considering the COVID-19 pandemic led to a suspension of court hearings, and the fact that according to attorney Lorna Kapunan, almost every other accused had a law firm or an Aegis Juris fraternity brother representing them. Horacio Castillo Jr. had said before about their commitment to the case despite the odds, quote, "It's not only for our son, this is for our youth. Later on, this will become the basis. I see 2-year-olds, 3-year-olds running around, and sometimes it hits you, maybe when they're in school, maybe there would be no hazing," end quote. Thank you for listening to Stories After Dark, a Spotify exclusive powered by Anchor. This story was suggested by Neil Mendoza on Patreon and Janelle Claridad by email. The episode was co-written by Kayla De Leon and was narrated and produced by me, Derek. Music is by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com. Stay tuned for a new episode, and to make sure you're updated about the show, please follow Stories After Dark on your Spotify app as well as on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. If you'd like to see the references used for this episode, suggest cases, send personal stories, or further support the show, you can go to storiesafterdark.ph for more information. All of the links are in the episode description.